I believe. Let's see how she's doing. So this beracha is really an incredible beracha. This beracha over here is the fifth beracha in the Amidah. The beracha that we're looking at now is, if you want to look at the breakdown. So if you guys remember, we start with the fourth beracha of the Amidah, which is the beracha of asking for brains. And why is brains the first one? And we said it's obvious. Without our brains, we're nothing. We're worthless. So we need to have brains. And because we need to have brains, so therefore, atachonin l'adam da'ad. We ask for brains. Without that, we can't understand anything. So to a Jew, what's the next most important thing? After brains, what's the next one? Now that I have brains, the first thing I realize, the first recognition that hits me is that, oh my gosh, my purpose in life is to have a relationship and connect to God. Wow, am I far from you, Hashem? And so the second thing we ask for, just following the logical path, the second thing we ask for is Hashiveinu Avinu L'Torataka. Return us, our Father, to your Torah. Meaning, I'm so far away from the Torah, I'm so far away from purpose of life. Please just return me to the Torah. So before anything else, before we get into the depth, and this baracha has very, very much depth, but let's not take out the simple meaning. The simple meaning of the words in this one, it's just poetry in motion. It's just so beautiful. So just to appreciate the words themselves, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Toratecha. How somebody's heart doesn't melt by this. It's hard. Sometimes I kind of wish we would only pray the Amidah once a month. Well, maybe some of you only pray the Amidah. I don't know everybody's telling me. But for those of us who do it three times a day, it ends up just becoming, and it hurts because when you really sit and just focus on these words, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Toratecha, return us our Father to your Torah, is just stopping for a moment and thinking, no matter where I'm holding, I could be so much closer. No matter where I'm holding, I can get a much stronger sense of reality and where my life is supposed to be with you, Hashem. And I wish I was closer, but hey, I'm so busy the whole day doing things I have to do. I'm busy in construction. I'm busy being a rabbi. I'm busy, you know, just all the here. Let me read you a beautiful line. I gave Shiur on this today, but something that really spoke to me a lot about being a rabbi and really about being life. In Parashat Yitro, Yitro says to Moshe, his father says to him, the very famous words, Naval Tivo. Which means you're going to wear yourself out. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing day and night being the single judge of Klal Yisrael. And Yitro says to him, Moshe, you can't do this. This is just impossible. And this is from my old Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Per. He said, if you want to do the right job, if you want to do the job right, then you can't say yes to every request. People who stretch themselves too thin lose their lishma, lose their geshmak in their tasks. Eventually, this spreads to other areas and their davening and learning suffers as well. Now, as you grow up, you learn that you have bigger shoulders than you ever imagined. First, you learn that you can take care of yourself. Then you can take care of your children. And eventually, you can even take care of your parents. You'll discover that you can carry a great deal. But after getting used to all that carrying, you might think that you're Superman. And with a little warning, you can burn out. At that point, a person plods along like a beast of burden, numb, desensitized to his original lofty goals as he labors under a multitude of burdens. I don't know if this is like really ringing true to anybody here, but have you guys felt that? I know I do. Like, you know, life demands so much of us. Yeah. If you're married, if you have kids, you need even more. But even if you're not married, just work. Or just friends, or just people, or just people who leave you a voice note saying, hey, do you have just 5 minutes to talk, or just 5 minutes to talk? Yeah, I would love to show you some emails. Recently, there's like this girl who sent me an email saying, hi, Rabbi Ari, I'm going to love all your show. It's so nice. And I have a friend who doesn't believe it. So can you answer just these five questions? Is there a God? Should I believe in God? Why do bad things happen to good people? Is the Holocaust something that I'm supposed to learn something from because I hate God because of it? And is there really Gan Eden? If you could just answer those questions and send it back to me. So I responded, but I get, Baruch Hashem, I get hundreds and hundreds of emails. I just to give you a scope of the emails I've answered from these, when I did the fundraiser that we did a few months ago. So one of my guys from Chazak, one of the people in England, said, Ari, get all your emails, the people who you've answered, you've had personal communication with, And just like cultivate the multi-gun in one thing, it was nearly 800 people that I've responded to over the years, just personal responses, back and forth. So, you know, I really do try to answer. And my response was, you can't answer these questions just like email. Have that friend of yours sit down with a rabbi, Rebbetzin or something. And her response was, oh, come on. She's not going to sit with anybody. Can't you just answer? So I didn't respond. And today she just sent me an email with the question mark. Like, what's taking me so long? So, you know, like a lot of people, and the demand, you know, and eventually we keep on saying yes, we keep on giving up, and we keep on, you know, you're running around the ADU, you didn't, okay, yeah, I'll just come in, and over here, I'll just bring the wood, and can't you just come here for 10 minutes? I swear to God, we called you 2 weeks ago. It's just like, and who has time to think? And the Rosh Hashiva said, I know this with myself. Now, this is for me. All of you can listen, but this is just for me. But you can apply this to your life. Rosh Hashiva said, I'll give a class in yeshiva, and then a drasha and shul, and then a few words at a simcha, and on and on and on, until I become sick and tired of hearing my own voice. I find that I need to take a break, stop talking for a while, listen to some other people for a change. You need to recharge your own batteries when they start to get low, and make sure you don't run them down so far that they can't be recharged. People who are not yet in a position of carrying others might not understand what I'm referring to, but these are very real concerns. It's difficult to strike a balance. We don't want to cheat ourselves out of growth by underestimating our capacities, but at the same time, we don't want to damage ourselves by taking on too much. It takes an honest and measured approach to mitzvot, to chesed, and commitments to preserve our precious store of authentic lishma in our quest for growth, meaning that when we just spend ourselves, you know, I think life before electricity, I don't think they were as busy as we were. I just think that when 5 o'clock hit in the wintertime and it was dark, that's it. That's just it. No, I can't come over to your house. I couldn't find it if I wanted to. It's pitch black outside. It's just all there is to it. So they're going to sit and come home and just relax and just chill. But even our downtime, we're so busy. How many things do we do in our downtime? So number one, even our Netflix or just catching on whatever it is, even that gotta catch up. Like, you know, like that's not even
work.
It is work. It's not even enjoyable. It's just like, how far ahead are they? It's almost like the Daf Yomi with seasons of shows. Like, I gotta catch up. You know, and you just keep on. But and as you're sitting and watching it,
yeah,
the whole time you're still responding to people, yeah. And you're just doing that. We don't. And so, when we and all this came to me from these three words. So just this feeling right now, of Hashivenu Avinu LaTorotecha. These are words that now that our brain got straight on our shoulders from the Baracha before this of Atachonim Adamdat, where you know we got our clarity back. Now we slow down and we say, Hashem, the most important thing is to return to you. That's the most important thing. So please return it to you. Like before I jump back into life, before I jump back into the whole work week and I gotta, right now when my brain is still clear because it's the morning I'm praying Shacharit or I stop the day for Mincha or I'm done the day for Arvit and I say these words. So before we get into the deep meanings, just the simplicity and the beauty of it, return it to your Torah. And bring us closer to your avodah. We're going to have to see what these words mean. Like, what's the difference really between returning to God's Torah and getting close to God's avodah? What, you know, we're going to have to see what those words mean. And return us in a teshuvah shalema before you. We're going to have to see what is a teshuvah shalema. You know, what's the concept of it? We're all trying to do that. And just, I guess, as to begin, teshuvah. Would you guys call teshuvah lechatechila or bidieved? Let me explain. Lechatechila means it's something everybody has to do. Or bidieved means because you screwed up, now you got to go return. Paying a traffic violation. That's not lechatechila. That's not something you want to do. It's now that I messed up, I didn't do the meter in time, and now I got to pay it. I mean, I messed up, now I got to pay it. Teshuvah to most people sounds like bidyavat, right? It sounds like I messed up in something, now I'm far from God, I have to return. The way the Rambam puts it And I love it. Reb Berkowitz would start out Elul every year teaching the same Rambam, who says, our purpose in life is to return to God. Meaning, Lechat Chila, meaning that He started us out far. The purpose, have you ever been in one of those mystery rooms? Or what's it called?
Escape room.
Escape room? I've never gone to an escape room. I don't know.
It's the best.
Yeah, everybody says that they love it. I just feel like it's a lot of work.
No.
I feel like, find your own stupid key. I don't know. What do you want from me? But, yeah, okay, so everybody says it's a lot of fun. But an escape room, you wouldn't say is b'diavad. You wouldn't say, like, well, it's lost. I got it. No, like, I came here to find that. Hashem put us in the escape room of life, which is, you know, go find these things. HaChazirin b'teshuvah shleima lefanecha means that we're all balei teshuvah, guys. Yeah, everybody is trying to return ourselves to Hashem. Everybody. Not because we did Averot only. Sure, we all do Averot, unfortunately. But even if you've never done an Avera, still you're about teshuvah. You're returning to what's right. You're returning to what's real. And so we want to do that shleima lefanecha. We want to do that in its totality, in its completion before you. Now, I love being Sephardi. I love being a Sephardi kid because we have Yehi Ratzon that the Ashkenazim don't. You guys know this Yehi Ratzon? There are certain Yehi Ratzons. There are certain Yehi Ratzons that, like, wow. You just like, and the Emmy for best Yehi Ratzon in Tefillah goes to, this is one of the best ones. Because it's so cool. Yehi Ratzon should be the will milafanecha before you, Hashem, Elokeinu v'kei avoteinu. Shetachtor. You should dig a hole underneath your kisei kavod. Does that ring a bell? The words, digging a hole, drilling a hole. Use the word drill. Maybe that underneath the kisei kavod. Anybody? So the story of King Menashe. So there were some really bad guys, unfortunately, in Jewish history. They say King Menashe was like the biggest sinner that Judaism had. How bad was King Menashe? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, you guys know we always say this, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek olam haba. Now we translate that to mean every Jew has a chelek olam haba. Yeah. Nobody tells you the naughty part of that Mishnah. At the end it says chutz, except, and there's a list, unfortunately. Yeah, there's a list of, and if memory serves right, I believe King Menashe may be on. I think so, if I remember correctly.
Who's King Menashe?
King Menashe was a king in Jewish history who went and put Avodah Zarah and idol worship, not just around Israel, but inside the Bet HaMikdash itself and made everybody bow down to it. Really, really terrible king, killed very many rabbis, you know, piece of work. All the way at the end of his life, he got the other kings came, warred with him. King Menashe was being killed by the enemy kings. They literally put like, they burnt them at the stake. Like literally, they put like a barbecue around them and they lit the fire. As the fire started to go up and he's like starting to burn, he yells to Hashem, HaChazirini b'teshuvah, please return me into teshuvah. The Midrash says it this way, or to Gemara, I'm sorry, I didn't look this up before, but no, some of the rabbis from the Gemara time says, the angels went and closed every window of tefillah in heaven to not allow that tefillah, his teshuvah, to go up. They didn't, like, no, they just let the guy burn. That's it. You know, he was like, and they were successful. They closed every single window. That was it. Lock and key. So the Midrash teaches us, Hashem took out a drill. And by the way, how awesome was that sound? Do it one more time. Thank you. And he went and he drilled a hole underneath his kisei hakavod to allow the teshuvah of King Menashe to go through. And the angel said, Hashem, what are you doing? And Hashem's answer was, if people see that I don't accept the teshuvah of King Menashe, they're going to say, you see, there are certain people Hashem doesn't accept, and I must be as bad as King Menashe. Hashem said, I don't want anybody to ever think that there's such a thing as God and I said, so therefore, even the worst of the worst, I'm going to accept this teshuvah, look back at this Yehi Ratzon, and now you know why I love it so much. It should be your will, Hashem, our God, drill a hole underneath your kisei hakavod. Oh, Zach, I'm getting goosebumps from this one. Meaning, even if when I'm talking to you right now and I say Teshuvah Shleima Lefanecha, and all the angels in heaven are shutting every window possible from what I want to do, Hashem, take out your cordless drill and get working and go and zip through and make that hole for me, because I know that you accept everybody's Teshuvah. utikabel b'teshuva, and accept the teshuva et. And I love this. You put your name in there. You make a personal. You put your name inside there. Your name from your mother's name. You, the son of your mother. And you put your name in there. Ki mincha Hashem peshuta lekapel shavim, because your right hand extends to accept people to return. A beautiful bracha. Baruch atah Hashem harotzeh b'teshuva. Bless you, Hashem, the one who returns up in teshuva. Now, guys, every single time we learn a bracha, each bracha I try to do in two classes, the first class will always be understanding what is the theme of the bracha. And the theme of the bracha will always be the words. Baruch atah Hashem harotzeh b'teshuva. Bless you, Hashem, the one who wants to return to us teshuva. So now we're going to have to understand, where did that come from? So, number one, why is this the fifth beracha in the Amidah? What's so special about the number five? So the Gemara tells us something fascinating. The Gemara says that there is a letter Hey. Hashem created this world with the letter Hey. Right? Behi bara. Hashem created the world. The letter Hey over there in that pasuk is very large. Behi Baram is Be Avraham. So Hashem created the world for Avraham. But Hashem created this world with the letter Hey. Hashem created Olam Haba with the letter Yud. Why does Hashem create this world with the letter Hey? The rabbis suggest something fascinating. It sounds childish, but it's something incredible. And to, honestly, as you get older, I think it's something like we really enjoy. The letter Hey is shaped like this. Even if you fall out of the bottom, Hashem left a crawl space to come back, to crawl back into. The rabbis say this. You know, this isn't like some cute little chassid shop. It's like a bar. Hashem created the world with teshuvah. Hashem created the world with this concept. There's also five levels of neshama that you can do teshuvah to go and to really get yourself all the way back to Hashem. Something incredible. Now, every single bracha in the Amidah was said by the angels in history. So Baruch Atah Hashem HaRotzeh B'Teshuvah, bless you Hashem, the one who wants us to do teshuvah, was said by the Malachim in history. When did the angels in heaven, so why do angels just all of a sudden randomly say a bracha about God? So when they see God do something that seems supernatural, that seems like wow, like beyond, the angels, their obligation is to get together and say, wow, you just did that. Bless you Hashem who just did that. So they saw an act of teshuvah, of God accepting teshuvah in history, that they felt was supernatural. They felt was like, wow. So the angels got together and said, bless you Hashem, the one who wants teshuvah. So there was a standout teshuvah. What was the standout teshuvah historically? So the standout teshuvah was when the angels saw Reuven did teshuvah. Now, what happened? So Reuven went, and I'm not going to spend time now tonight on the story of Reuven so much, but the Torah makes it sound after Rachel Imenu died, so Rachel and Leah are married to Yaakov. Rachel passes away. Leah is now married to Yaakov with the other two, with Zilpah and Bilhah, with the other two servants. Reuven felt his mother Leah deserves to have the bed of Yaakov in her tent. It used to be in Rachel. She passed away, put it in Leah by my mother. Yaakov had his tent moved to Bilhah, to the maidservants of Rachel. Reuven felt that that was a slight to his mother, and now is a gray area. What happened? It says that Reuven moved the bed of his father. Some learned that means that he just moved the bed, but that was an affront to Yaakov. Some say that he actually ended up in bed with Bilhah, with his. So we don't take that to mean a very simple meaning, but there was an Avera that was done. There's a lot of Mefarshim on this, and tonight we're not going to be exploring that, but there was an Avera that was done. I want to rather go and delve about the Teshuvah. The Gemara tells us that Reuven spent his whole life doing Teshuvah. And then finally, after Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yechi Reuven v'al yamot, all the way in Vizot HaBaracha, that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Reuven after he died, that he should be accepted into a high level in Gan Eden. It was accepted, and he did Teshuvah. When the angels saw that God accepted Reuven's Teshuvah, they said, Baruch Atah Hashem HaRotzeh B'Teshuvah. What was so incredible about that? Because the theme is something so incredible. The theme is, if let's say, God forbid, somebody was backing out of their driveway one morning, and as they're backing out of the driveway, their neighbor's kid jumps like behind the car they hit the kid and they break the kid's legs. And the kid now is in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Now, nobody's at fault. But, like, the kid jumped just to get a ball. You know, they looked around at it. And this person goes to their neighbor and they apologize for the rest of their life. I'm sorry. The person, the neighbor can say, you know, the parents can say, we know it's not your fault. We don't hate you. But the damage is done. Meaning, we can't forgive you. Not that we have animosity towards you. We just can't forgive you. How can we forgive the fact that our child's in a wheelchair because of this? Because of it? Meaning, sometimes I'm sorry doesn't undo, not sometimes, it never undoes the past. I'm trying to remember which story this was, but there was a story of a man who was caught and he was looking at not nice things on his computer for a very long time. Pornography. His wife found out, or maybe he cheated on his wife. I don't remember this story, but he did something, you know, to really hurt his marriage. And they were going to therapy, he and his wife. And the therapist, an amazing marriage therapist. And finally, after like 10 meetings, the marriage therapist got them both emotional. And the wife said to her husband, I love you and I forgive you. I forgive you. And the husband was like, oh, thank you. I'm so happy. She said, and now I want a divorce. It's like, what? I mean, you just said, she's like, yeah. She's like, I forgive you. But every time I look at you, all I see is you and that other lady. Meaning, I get it. That other lady was very good looking and she was your secretary and you were late at work. And I know you're human. I have no question about the fact that you're human and you cheated. And I don't even take an affront to that, but it happened. And I can't undo that, so I can't live with you anymore. And I happen to love you too. And I forgive you also because you're a human, but I just can't have this relationship anymore, I just can't. The angels had no idea that teshuvah is so strong that Reuven, Yechi Reuven V'Yamot means put Reuven into a level of Yechi of life. Put him back into life. Put him back into the level as if he had never sinned. Get him back there. When the angels saw that God did that, the angels said, in the natural world, that's not possible. In the natural world, that can't be. Teshuvah is a supernatural thing beyond our understanding. And by the way, you know who else was like shocked by this? Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon sinned. Right? He ate from the Eitz HaDaat, ate from the tree of knowledge. He spends 130 years doing very many Averot. What Averot? Niv will give it to you in detail afterwards. Because you know all the Kabbalistic Sfarim talk about.
I know.
Him and Lilith, all these different things. So he did very, very, and Niv will also tell you who got reincarnated from all those. But he did very many Averot. Listen to this crazy story. He bumps into, this Gemara tells you, he bumps into Cain, into his son. Now this is after Cain killed Hevel. After Cain killed Hevel, he sees Cain, and he sees like that mark on Cain said that God put there. And he said to Cain, how are you still alive? And Cain's like, oh yeah, I did tshuva. And Adam said, you did what? He said, yeah, no, I told Hashem, I'm sorry. All good. Adam said, what the heck are you talking about? You killed. It's like, yeah, I did tshuva. And that's, Adam couldn't, to Adam's understanding, we live in a natural world and there's consequence. And consequence means you messed up. And that's, you can't undo the past. Doesn't, after Adam heard this teshuva, he went, he remarried Chava. Lamech Avdel convinced him. He said, I can have my life back. And he composed Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. Tov Lo Dot Lana. That was composed by Adam HaRishon right when he found that you can do teshuvah. And the coolest part of that is Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. If you take the Rosh Tevot that says Lib Moshe, and the Arizal tells us that every Friday night, the two crowns that we lost by Na'aseh V'Nishma, when the Jews accepted the Torah, it says that they got two crowns. And then when they sinned by the golden calf, they lost those crowns. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one to get all those crowns, it says. And when Shabbat comes, our neshamot get to get those crowns back. Because Shabbat is Teshuvah, it's the same letters. And because when Shabbat comes, you get to return to Hashem. That is the ultimate return. That's why we say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbat. That's why we say at the beginning of Shabbat, a return to Hashem. It's something incredible. Adam saw while you can return. When the angels saw God do something supernatural, which is that although we messed up, God's willing to bring us to a place as if we never sinned, as if it never happened. And to finish off tonight, I want to tell you something that I would never be able to say, but the Chatam Sofer said it. If he didn't say it, I wouldn't believe it myself, but the Chatam Sofer writes this. He says, you know how strong Teshuvah is? So we know that at the end of your life, they're going to go and give an accounting about everything you've done, everything I've done. You know, they can have like a video up there and everything we've done. And so let's say on April 15th in 2014, you came home from a long day of work, a long day of school, and you sat down at your laptop, you close the door, and you're like, yeah, I put in a long day, I'll just look at the news, and then all of a sudden you start to look at some very not nice things. You start to look at things that you know, Shomari Naim, start to look at things you shouldn't do. And you spend hours and hours doing that, and you end up doing an Avera from that. April 15th, 2014, let's just say it was a Monday, April 2014. A person who does, says the Chatam Sofer, a person who does a Teshuvah Shalema, and Bezot Hashem, next week we're going to get into what a Teshuvah Shalema is. I know I haven't explained it yet, we're going to get there. A person who does that, when they play, after 120 years, you go up to heaven, and they play your whole life story, when they get to that Monday night, April 15th, 2014, you're like, oh no. I remember that night. You're like, no, everybody, look away. You know, you don't want to, you know what's going to happen? They're going to play the video, and you get to your room, and everybody's going to see you opening up a Gemara and learning the whole night. Guys, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. And I generally don't like to teach these things, because I like to teach things that make sense. But the Chatam Sofer said this. So, don't worry, it doesn't have to make sense. Adam HaRishon couldn't understand it. The angels were shocked by it. But we have to believe it. We mamash, we have to believe it. So when we say this beracha, Hashiveinu v'lo Torahtecha, turn us to your Torah, a tshuva shlema, we have to go in believing that what the angels were shocked by is a reality. That, harotzeh b'teshuva, Hashem wants us to return so much that we can even get to the level as if we never sinned. Okay, guys, next week we're going to have to go to a lot of things. Meaning, next week we're going to have to cover a couple of uncomfortable subjects. Like, well, it's a rabbi, so maybe I can sin as much as I want now. And then, do Teshuvah Shlema later. You know, I can just go eat by all-you-can-eat lobster, red lobster now, and then, you know, all these different things. So we're going to have to talk about, Martin Yumada talks about that. Bezat Hashem, next week we're going to clarify all these different things. I look forward to teaching you guys then. Hazak Baruch. Have a great night, guys.
The hero over there.
Yeah.